My name is Malcolm Duncan, and I have the privilege of leading KTLCC. Thank you for being here tonight. And it is my deep conviction that God wants to speak to us by the power of His Holy Spirit about the question or the subject of drinking from a well. Allowing ourselves to come into the presence of God and drink from His presence what He wants to do in us. To drink from His grace and from His mercy. To drink from His salvation, to drink from His healing. And as you hear this word, I believe that there are things that God will want to say to each of us, that He will call us into fresh moments of encounter. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you think, this is a strange bunch of people. Let me tell you, they're not strange. They love Jesus. And they believe that Jesus is still alive and still able to heal and still able to set free, and that He is present here by the power of His Holy Spirit to bring life and freedom and hope and joy to all who will call upon His name. And if that is you and you've never called on His name, you'll have an opportunity to do that tonight, here and online. Planted deep within the Judeo-Christian story are wells. They appear all over the place. Let me read to you of the first mention of a well and the last mention of a well in Scripture. So first of all, would you turn, please, to Genesis chapter 17. I beg your pardon, Genesis chapter 16. I read from the New Revised Standard Version in English. We're going to read this whole chapter to help you get a sense of it because it's important. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived for 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as a wife. He went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my slave girl to your embrace, and when you saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Your slave girl is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she ran away from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. The spring on the way to Shur, and he said, "Hagar, slave girl of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going?" And she said, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." And the angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He shall be a wild ass of a man, with his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall live at odds with all his kin." So she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roi." For she said, "Have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him?" Therefore, the well, in Hebrew it is the same word as spring, was called Ve'er Lachai Roy. It lies between Kadesh and Vereth. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him, Ishmael. God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. We'll turn to the second reading in a moment. Here, this remarkable story sees this woman, Hagar, deeply mistreated. And she runs after she bears a son to Abram. And she has no idea where she's going. The angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "Where have you run from and where are you going to?" She doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't give an answer to that part of the question. She simply says, "I'm running away from Sarai." And God meets with her at this spring. He protects her. He protects her son. And she is the first person in Scripture ever to give God a name. And this is the well of the God who sees. The first well ever mentioned in Scripture is the well of the God who sees those that are running away. The well of the God who sees those who have been mistreated. The well where God sees those who feel abandoned and alone and afraid and uncertain. And he comes to them at that place and he meets them and he sustains them and he ministers to them and he refreshes them and he cares for them and he gives them a hope and he gives them a future. And from that well until now, that is exactly what God does. He's still in the business of coming to those that are running away. He's still in the business of coming to those who are frightened or anxious or do not know what to do. He's still in the business of opening a well for you to find life and refreshment and comfort and hope. He did it then. He can do it tonight. Now let's look at the last reading of, or the last mention of a well or a spring. They are the same words in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 21, all but one from the last chapter of Scripture. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is amongst mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' And also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" Verse 6, "To the thirsty, I will give water from the well of life." The only qualification you need to drink from the well of God's life and grace and mercy is to thirst for it. In Isaiah chapter 55, almost halfway through the Bible, if you were looking at it from page to page, God presents himself like a London Market barrow boy. Some people think God only speaks in authorized version English or formal French or formal language. God, it's a theology called the doctrine of accommodation. God comes down to your level and mine to speak to us. He uses words that we understand. And in Isaiah 55, the way the Hebrew is written, it sounds like a market stall trader. And here's what he cries. Ho! Yo! Hey! You'll see how non-street cred I am. What's up? Everyone that is thirsty. Everyone that is thirsty. Come to the waters and drink. Come buy food without cost and wine without price. From beginning to end, the story of Scripture is planted with three different types of water: wells, cisterns, and springs. They are the place where people meet with God. They are the place where people are encountered by God. They are the place where God sustains and strengthens and renews and encourages and calls and redeems and saves. You may be surprised to know that across the Bible, there are only 8 mentioned by name. The first that I read to you from Genesis 16, mentioned again in Genesis chapter 25. The second, the well called Beersheba, mentioned in Genesis 21, verses 30 to 33, and Genesis 26 again, verses 32 to 33. The well called Esek in Genesis 26, a well called Sitna in the same chapter, the well of Rehoboth, a well mentioned in Numbers 21, a well called the well of the dragon in Nehemiah chapter 2, and Jacob's well in John chapter 4. Probably a well associated with Jacob himself. There are other wells mentioned in the Bible. There's a well near Bethlehem. There's a well near the great city of Sekou. There's a well near Sarah. Isaac found a wife at a well. Jacob found a wife at a well. Moses found a wife at a well. King Uzziah dug wells under Jerusalem to look after the city, that some of which remain to this day. And Isaac dug many wells. And the Elim Pentecostal Church, of which KT, LCC is a part, is named so because of 12 wells, or 70 wells, depending on which version of the scripture you read, where the people of Israel were supported and resourced and strengthened. I asked one of my new colleagues here at KT if he could find out if there were any wells near here. So he did a bit of research. His name is Marco. And he said, Malcolm, I had a look at London's lost rivers. And there are 2 rivers pretty close to the KT building. Did you know that? The River Westbourne and Counters Creek. Who knew there was a Counters Creek near here? The River Westbourne ran closest to Notting Hill Gate via Bayswater. And it was at some point used to fill the Serpentine in Hyde Park. And there are 2 wells nearby. One, St. Govor's Well in Kensington Gardens, which you can no longer get to. And another, which was called a medicinal spring well in Kensington Wells in Holland Park, close to Aubrey House. It was built in 1698 by a group of doctors and apothecaries as a spa that would have utilized the medicinal water. It was originally called the Villa, and it became known as Notting Hill House in 1795. And was renamed as Aubrey House in the 1850s. And it's about a 10-minute walk from here. Counters Creek, by the way, ran from Ladbrokes Grove, Latimer Road, Shepherd's Bush, Earl's Court, and Chelsea. And it forms part of the boundary between the boroughs of Hammersmith and Fulham, Kensington and Chelsea. And the overground line now runs on part of it. Very interesting. But what about spiritual wells here at KT, LCC? What about the wells that God wants to keep open in our lives and in our hearts? I think the Bible has a clear picture of wells because they somehow become symbols of places where we encounter life, where we encounter grace, where we encounter mercy, where we encounter hope, where we encounter God. Isaiah chapter 12 reminds us that God says that you will drink from the wells of salvation, a well of healing, a well of saving, a well of protecting, a well of nurture. In Genesis chapter 26, we read of a series of wells that had been dug by Abram and were somehow covered or forgotten, and they were returned to by his son Isaac. And they opened those wells again, and they drank for them again. But the people around those wells tried to claim them, take them from Abraham and use them for themselves. And Isaac had to reclaim them. So they were called wells of contention and wells of dispute and wells of argument. Not because the well itself caused argument, but people wanted it. In our lives, God opens wells for us. Wells of grace and mercy, and the enemy wants you to move away from them. Other people will try to get you to walk away from those wells, to get to different places, because they don't want you to drink from the well where God might actually meet you. The most powerful story of a well in Scripture is in John chapter 4. A woman that Jesus meets from verse 1 to 15. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who had baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. He didn't have to go through Samaria. He chose to go this circuitous route to meet this woman. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" They hated each other. Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This woman's having a conversation about ordinary water, and Jesus is having a conversation about life. She's saying, "I want some water," and he's saying, "I can give you life." Wells become a picture of life. And Jesus promises her life. The well of God is a well of life. The well of God is a well of salvation. It's a well of healing. It's a well of hope. It's a well of restoration. It's a well of joy. It's a well of strength. And it is here in this church. From this building was built. From it has been opened. It has been a source of life to the women and men of this community. Not just since Elam bought it in the 1930s, and then it left the movement and then came back into it. Not just in the last 60 or 70 years, but over 100, almost 200 years ago now, a group of 10 people bought this little plot of land, and they opened it as a well of hope, a well of mercy, a well of kindness, and a well of compassion. And when it became KT, in the 1930s. It became a well of healing. The men and women that used to preach in this church, and there have been some remarkable people that have preached here, would come and pray for the sick and they would be healed. We'd pray for the broken and they would be restored. We'd pray for those that were lost and they would be rescued or saved. Churches have been planted from this well. Ministries have been launched from this well. Governments have been impacted from this well. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives have been blessed, touched, transformed, and changed by the mercy of God that has flowed from this well. And let me tell you something, the well has not run dry. The well is still open, and you can still drink from it. God has never stopped the water flowing from this place. And he is here tonight by the power of his Holy Spirit to release that water of life into the lives of all who will drink from it. But we can block the well in our own lives. We can block it through sin or fear or uncertainty or anxiety or division or resentment or control. We can say, this is how we want this to look. This is what we want this to be like. Whilst all the time God is saying, just let my river flow. Just let my water flow. And you might look out at London tonight. You might look out at whatever city of the world you're part of around the world and think, it's doing okay. It's not doing okay. We are living in a cultural wilderness of a landscape. Just this weekend, we have seen towns and cities across the United Kingdom sparked into flame, sparked into fire because of the wilderness of cultural appropriation that's taking place. Because of fear and uncertainty and anxiety, our very fabric is at threat. If there was ever a time in the United Kingdom when churches needed to be wells of hope again, it is tonight. If there was ever a time when families needed to know that there was a well that they could drink from that would help them and sustain them, it is tonight. If there was ever a time in the United Kingdom story or history where individuals needed to know that there was a well that they could come to and they could drink at and they would be given a sense of who they are, why they are here, what they are for, and what their life is about, it is tonight. But I want to tell you that this well has not run dry and that God is still at work in this place. And if you are here tonight, it is my absolute conviction that you are not here by accident. You have not simply come to enjoy a service, have a sing, and leave again. You've come to a place of encounter. You've come to a place where God wants to meet with you and release a fresh stream into your soul. I have no doubt about that. The question that I can't answer is whether you want him to. How would you block the well of God's grace in your life? What if his well is not convenient? What if the water washes away some of your security? What if his well refreshes you in such a way that people around you will laugh at you and say, you've gone a bit overboard? Are you willing to contend for what God wants in your life? Are you willing to press in for it and say, I want the very best of you? We used to sing a song in one of the churches that I led many, many years ago. I'm not going to sing it to you, don't worry. Spring up, O well. It's a great spiritual song. I love it. Within my soul. Spring up, O well, and overflow. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. In John chapter 7, the story of water of a different kind. Here's the event and how it happens. Every year in the Jewish community, there is a particular moment, or there was, when the temple was still built in Jerusalem. If I come down here, you'll still be able to see me. It'll give me more room to move around. There was a particular moment in the festivals where the Jewish people would return to Jerusalem. And if you read Ezekiel 47, it tells you of how the temple was built. And in the middle of the temple, from the very center of it, all the way out, was a drain pipe or a shuck or a channel that was dug into the ground. And once a year, the high priest would have all the people that were there for the festival behind him, singing psalms and songs of rejoicing. And they would walk down behind the high priest, and he would go to the pool of Siloam. It's a place where Jesus healed someone, actually. And he would hold a big jug, a pitcher above his head. Not a picture, a pitcher above his head. And they would all sing and rejoice. And he would get to the pool of Siloam, and he would put it into the pool, and he'd lift the water into it, and he'd carry it safely all the way back to the center of the temple, and they'd still be singing. And he'd turn outside the Holy of Holies, and he'd lean down, and he'd pour the water into the channel, and it would flow out of the temple into the streets of Jerusalem and away. And he would turn and say, "This is to remind us that one day there will be a well at the center of this place, and the water of it will flow, and it will be like healing to the nations." A picture of a river that was prophesied in Ezekiel 47. And that water will be healing for the nations, and it will have fruitfulness every month. And they'd all cheer and shout and dance and celebrate. It was called the height of the festival. Now, in John chapter 7, we read that Jesus went to that festival. And as everybody was rejoicing and dancing, as they heard the high priest declare that one day this would happen, we're told that Jesus stood at the height of the festival and in a loud voice proclaimed, "I am the water of life. He who comes to me will never thirst again." These people had gathered to remember the moment that God had promised where the water would flow from the temple to the world. And Jesus said, "I am the water. I am standing right in front of you. Do you want to drink?" Well, sisters and brothers, that same image is picked up in the book of Revelation. It's mentioned in Revelation 21. That river is mentioned as the river that flows to the nations and brings healing to the nations. And there are two ways in which that will happen. One is when God himself does all of his things and accomplishes all of his purposes at the very end of time. But the second, and get this, is now through his people who are filled with the water of life and share it with those who are thirsty around them. You might think I'm being melodramatic, but I believe, gosh, that's heavier than I thought, that the Lord Jesus Christ stands in this gathering by the power of the Holy Spirit and says to you, "I am the water of life." On this hot, balmy London summer evening, I am here to refresh you. I'm here to pour my water into your soul. I'm here to sweep away the disappointment, to wash away the regret. I'm here to give you a fresh touch. I'm here to minister into your pain, to minister into your uncertainty, to minister physically to bring you healing. I'm here to renew. I'm here to reinvigorate. I'm here to revive. I'm here to set free. I'm here to bring life. Of that, I have no doubt. The question I ask is whether you want him. Whether you will say to him, "River of God, wash over me. Fill me. Restore me. Renew me." I know that a good percentage of folk that come to KTLCC on a Sunday night come relatively as guests. So forgive me if for a moment I speak to the KTLCC church family for a moment. This is a well. You and I have the privilege, whether we're serving in Albania or we are serving here, whether we are serving through Arise and in various different spaces or we serve here, we have the privilege of being part of a well. And it's our responsibility to drink from it, to keep it clean, and to guard it, to protect it, and to keep it open. In the months that lie ahead, I rarely say things like you're about me to hear from me. In the months that lie ahead, we are going to see God do the most remarkable things. Are you ready? And are you willing to keep this well clean? Are you willing to protect it? Are you willing to guard it? Are you willing to share the water that God will give to you from it? And I don't mean just here. I mean in Brazil. I mean in Germany. I mean in the LCC network. I mean across the world with all those that are linked to this house. Are we willing to keep this well open and to let God's water flow and flow and flow and flow and flow? Because sisters and brothers, we haven't seen anything yet. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be at this point in this journey with this church family. I'm excited about what God wants to do. And across the next few weeks and months, we're going to have to work out what that looks like and how we minister into it. And we're going to have to go with the flow of God's Holy Spirit. But I believe with all of my heart that tonight's message is deeply important. And you might think, we've done the ministry at the beginning, we'll get home early. I think God still wants to do some things here. And I'm not going to yell them and shout them, but I'm going to make some declarations. And if you believe them in your heart, then I want you to, however you want to affirm them, to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, over the future of KTLCC. But the first thing I want to do is to ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Is there anyone tonight, while no one else is looking, and you need to drink from the well of salvation? Online, you can talk to those that are moderating our space, and they will help you. You're not on your own. There are people from our church family there to minister to you and to help you understand the decision you're about to make. Is there anyone in this house, in this wonderful congregation, and you have never publicly accepted Jesus Christ? You've never said yes to him. And this evening, God stands before you and says, do you want to drink from the well of salvation? Do you want forgiveness? Then ask me. If you'd like to surrender your life to Christ this evening, whilst no one else is looking, please put up your hand and then take it down again. I will see it and I will acknowledge it and I will pray for you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Thank you so much. You can take your hand down. Is there anyone else? Jesus is standing before you. And he wants to bring you into the well of salvation. It's such a joy. If you know Christ is calling you, we want to pray for you. Just put your hand up and take it down again. Thank you. You can take your hand down. Hallelujah. Are God's people not blessed that folk are surrendering to Jesus here tonight? Is there anyone else? The well of salvation is open. Will you drink from it? Is there anyone else in this place? Doesn't matter how old or how young. Doesn't matter whether it's your first time in this church building or you've been here many times. You're not a Christian because your dad's a Christian or your mum's a Christian. You're not a Christian because you come to church. You're not a Christian because you read the Bible. You're only a Christian when you've surrendered your life to Christ. And you must do that for yourself. No one else can do it for you. Is there anyone else here tonight? And God is calling you into this wonderful well. Lord, I want to pray for those that have responded. I pray that you will give them grace and strength, that you'll touch their hearts and lives, that you will pour out your Spirit upon them and renew them and strengthen them and give them great joy. I pray that you will help them as they walk with you, forgive them of their sin, cleanse them from all that has got in the way, and give them hope. Give them the gift of faith, Lord, as they turn from everything else and follow you. May they know your grace and your mercy. May they know your hand upon them. And may they walk with you all the days of their lives. May they be discipled and encouraged and strengthened. Now, here's my second question. Whilst your eyes are still bowed, your eyes are still closed and your heads are still bowed, because these are private questions. How many of you need to drink afresh? The last season has wearied you. It's worn you out at family or in business or in ministry or in church. And this evening you're saying, I need to drink from the well of joy. I need to drink from the well of salvation and hope and life. I need a fresh touch from you, Lord. I need a fresh anointing. Again, I'm going to ask you, put your hand right up and put it up now. And do not be afraid. Thank you, 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 thank you. There are thirsty people in this house. You can take your hands down. Holy Spirit, refresh and renew your people. Wash away the sadness and weariness. Wash away the disappointment. Wash away the sorrow. Wash away the cynicism. And may each of us drink from your well tonight deeply and fully by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need you. Oh, we need you. We need you, Lord. Tell him you need him. Tell him you need him. Oh, how we need your grace. We drink from your strength, Lord. We drink from your wisdom. We drink from your life. We plunge ourselves into the pool of your grace. Saturate us with your presence. Immerse us in your power. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. When the Holy Spirit moves amongst us, he sometimes breaks something in us. He lifts the seal on the well of our hearts. Let him break the seal on your heart, sister. Let him flow into you by the power of the Holy Spirit, brother. He knows the story. Sometimes declarations can be loud and boisterous. Sometimes they can be quiet and determined. I declare, with the anointing of God and in the name of Jesus, that all that you want for us, we will have as KTLCC. I declare over this house a well of salvation that has always flowed is open. I declare over this house that the well of healing is open. I declare over this house that the well of restoration is open. I declare over this house that the well of new beginnings is open. I declare over this house that there is a well of honor that is open. I declare over this house a well of truth, a well of mercy, a well of joy, a well of hope is open. And I declare in the name of Jesus that every spiritual force and every enemy sent by the enemy to destroy the well will be banished in Jesus' name. I declare over this house that deception is broken in the name of Jesus. I declare that the brick or the stone of confusion is lifted in the name of Jesus. I declare that you are Lord. And Lord Jesus, tonight, with joy in our hearts, we affirm what all have gone before us affirm. This is your church, Lord. We are your people, Lord. We are here for your glory. And we pray that you will flow in us and through us to one another. But I declare tonight that you will flow from this place to every borough in the city of London in the name of Jesus. That you will flow to the nations in the name of Jesus. That your power and life will flow from this place to the capital cities of the world in the name of Jesus. I declare that your life and creativity and power will flow into every sphere of society from this place in the name of Jesus. And that in this well, politicians will be birthed. In this well, medics and engineers and doctors and lawyers and entrepreneurs will be birthed in the name of Jesus. That in this well, pastors and prophets and evangelists and apostles and shepherds and teachers will be birthed in the name of Jesus. I declare, Father, that you will cause us to be a releasing people, that we will give our best away again and again and again. I declare that the well of your provision for all that lies ahead will be released in the name of Jesus. We thank you that those who love you lack no good thing. And tonight we declare that you are the well of our life. You are the joy of our life. You are the strength of our life. And we come to meet with you, Holy Spirit, to be refreshed and renewed by you in Jesus' holy name. And in an act of simple and profound sacredness, if you know and love Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to drink from the well of his presence by having communion with me now. The stewards will make little receptacles available to you. And the band are going to lead us in a song as we prepare to do this. We sang it in our gatherings this morning. I asked for it to be sung in all of our services. If you've become a Christian tonight, then you can take this bread. Welcome to the family of God. You can drink this cup. The bread reminds us of the broken body of Jesus. The cup reminds us of the shed blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross. If you need one of these, the stewards have them and are making them available now. Thank you, sister. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then please don't take communion. Let it pass you by. I invite you to stand with me if you're willing and able. As Ishikin and the band lead us in this song. And I wonder if the last verse we'll sing a cappella. So when we get to the last verse, if you know a harmony, come on, tenors, baritones, altos, sopranos, and everything else in between, sing this out as we worship God together. Thank you.